Well, it's a great joy to be back in the house of the Lord again tonight. Thankful to see everyone that's come, as Brother Miller has already stated. I appreciate the nice things that he said about me, but I certainly don't feel deserving of any of them. I'm just thankful that I've had the privilege to serve the Lord down through the years and to try to be of service to his people and try to be instrumental in appointing lost souls to Jesus. I don't have any ability to save anyone. I can't even convict anyone, let alone save them. But I'm thankful that I can tell people about one who can save them from the bondage of sin and give them peace with God. Tonight is our smallest crowd. I thought last night was the smallest crowd we'd had up to this point, but I believe we're a little smaller tonight than we were last night. And we've been meeting since a week ago Friday night, and we've had good services, and I know people have other things they have to do, but I appreciate your faithfulness to come to the revival. And we're glad, as Brother Miller said, to have the visitors with us tonight. We have Brother Roy Lee Carrier with us. He's the leader of the singing seniors. And he started that group about 18 years ago. Soon will be 18 years ago. And the group's still together. Not exactly the same personnel, but the singing seniors as a group are still singing. And we're glad he's with us tonight. I love him and appreciate him. And I have another friend with us tonight that I appreciate, and Brother Danny Webb is with us tonight. And Brother Danny, we're glad that you came to be with us. And he's a mutual friend to several of us that are here tonight. And so we're glad to hear. Brother and Sister Sailors have really been faithful to attend the revival too, and we appreciate them coming and being in the services with us. I do desire an interest in your prayers. I feel the need of the help of God, and I realize the seriousness of this service. We stand here tonight between, as it were, the living and the dead, to break the bread of life. And this very service tonight could affect eternity. Do you know it? There could be people in this service tonight that will never be in another service. There may be some who are lost in this service tonight that will be saved tonight. It can happen. Today is the day of salvation. And I say that for perhaps more than one reason, but especially I say that because yesterday is gone, tomorrow never comes, and today is the only time you have to get right with God. It doesn't matter if it's 12 o'clock at midnight or 12 o'clock at noon. The very moment that you're living is the only time that you have to get right with God. And so I pray tonight that God will meet with us and bless us and help us in this service. I'd like to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture. The 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. There are only 10 verses in the chapter, and I think I'll read all 10 verses. I want you to listen to the reading of God's Word. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The Lord of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools should not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there upon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy in their hearts, and shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, with the mistakes that I may have made, I read the entire 35th chapter from the book of Isaiah. And I pray tonight that God will add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, and in verse 8, I want to choose a subject for tonight. And this is what the Lord said. And unto this people thou shalt say, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And I want to talk to you tonight about the way of life. Moses made a similar statement over in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 30 and verse 19. I want to turn over there, and by the way, I put that large print Bible back in the box, and I expect it to stay there. Now, those of you who wasn't here the other night, you don't know why I said that. I hunted for a scripture, seemed like, for 15 minutes. And I never did find it. So I decided I'd get along better with my old Bible than I could that large print Bible. Anyway, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 19, this is what Moses said. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I call heaven and earth together this day against you, he said, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I want you to think with me for a little bit tonight about the way of life. This lesson that I read, I think it has reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of people, lots of theologians, lots of televangelists, lots of prominent pastors that apply this to the second coming of Christ. But I believe it has reference to His first coming. And it talks about the flourishing of Christ's kingdom. A lot of people are looking for Jesus to come back to this world and set up a kingdom. But I affirm that Jesus set up a kingdom when He was here the first time. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. In fact, Jesus Himself said, My kingdom is not of this world. It is not of a worldly nature. It is of a spiritual nature. And it has flourished. And the gospel has gone forth. And the wilderness and the solitary places have been made glad and have been made to rejoice because of the kingdom of heaven, which I believe is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel that the church presents to the world and offers to them in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation and eternal life and a home in heaven, it has spread throughout the entire world. Now, I have made this statement before, and I want to make it again tonight. I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus is the most successful institution that has ever been on the face of the earth. It started with just a few, and the Lord has added to it down through the years, and it has grown and grown and grown, and it has multiplied. I don't know if it has yet been the gospel been preached in all nations of the world or not, but I'm of the opinion that it has at least been preached most in most every nation, maybe somewhere. Some isolated spot, somebody hasn't heard about the Lord Jesus. But anyway, Jesus said, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached among all nations for a witness, then shall the end come. And I believe the end is coming. And that's why I am so concerned about you being saved. Because when Jesus comes again, that is going to be the end. The door of mercy is going to be closed. And it'll be too late to pray. It'll be too late to seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. And so I want you to think with me tonight. I wanted to just make one other explanation about the scripture that I read. It said, and then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Now the reason that I said I believe this has reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus, you remember who John the Baptist was? The Bible said he was a man sent from God. And he was sent on a mission. He was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And he did that. And he made them ready by giving to them the knowledge of salvation and the remission of their sins. Now, he didn't grant remission, and he didn't give them salvation and eternal life, but he pointed them to one that could. And, you know, the Bible says that John the Baptist, when he was questioned as to who he was, He said, I am not the Christ. He said, I am a voice in the wilderness, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And so John pointed people to Jesus Christ. And the ones that repented of their sins and believed in him were saved. That's the plan of salvation. And John baptized those who were who made professions of faith, the Lord took them and added to his church. Now, I think I maybe have said most of that one other night in this meeting. But here was John the Baptist. He was not timid at all when it came to sin. He called black, black, and white, white. And he called sin, sin. And he called adultery, adultery. And he was before a king. He told the king that it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. And it, of course, it made the lady mad. I didn't say much about Herod, whether it made him mad or not. But it made his wife mad. And when she got the opportunity, she brought accusations against John. And her daughter made a request for her birthday that she might have the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And so Herod regretted that he had promised this young lady anything that she wanted, but in order to keep his word, he had John beheaded. But while he was still in prison, the Bible says that John he sent to Jesus, sent some of his disciples to Jesus. And he said, I want you to go and ask him if he is the one that was to come, or should we ask or seek for another? And I want to turn to the book of Matthew just for a moment, and in the 11th chapter, and I want to read to you what Jesus told them. Almost word for word what Isaiah the prophet prophesied. This is what he said. They said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So I believe when Isaiah spoke these words, he said, then these things will come to pass. So it tells me that this was having reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus. And then he went on and said, and a highway shall be there. And he said, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And he said, an unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein. And he said, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, Isaiah the prophet, he spoke about the way of life. And I want you to think about this with me tonight. I hope I haven't taken too much time in saying the things that I have said. A way. God made a way for sinners to be saved. God made a way for individuals to repent of their sins. God made a way for them to believe in the Lord Jesus and to receive life, and not just temporal life, but to receive eternal life and everlasting life. He says this way is a highway. It is a thoroughfare. There is a thoroughfare that has been opened up to the Lord Jesus, so that every lost sinner can come to him and find salvation. You remember reading after Adam and Eve had transgressed the law of God? They were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that cherubims were placed at the entrance of the garden with flaming swords that turned every direction to keep the way of the tree of life. I believe that the way has been open from the day that Adam sinned against God. I believe God made a way for sinners to come back to God. And there is just one way. I think that's why the swords, the flaming cherubs were placed there. Not to prevent them from coming back to the tree, but to ensure the fact that they would come the right way to the tree. And there is just one way. We used to sing an old song that says, there is just one way to the pearly gates, to the crown of life and the friends who wait. It's the old crossroad, or the way called straight. There is just one way to the pearly gates. And you know, there's only one plan of salvation. There's never been two. There has never, ever been any other way to come to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. There will never be another way, because this one way is sufficient. It was provided by the grace of God, and it was put into effect before the foundation of the world. And it is sufficient. And everyone who has come to God through the way of the cross has found forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And so that's what I want to get before you tonight. There's a way to get to God. There's a way that you can be saved and know that you are saved. This highway, this way is a highway, but it is indeed a limited access highway. There's only one way that you can get on this way. And you have to come that way, and there is no other way. It shall be called the way of holiness, Isaiah said. And he said, no unclean thing shall go thereupon. And I want to also include in this tonight that this way is so plain and so simple that there is no excuse for anyone to miss the way to God. There's no excuse. It is so plain and so simple that even a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, has no excuse, for missing the way. And so I wanted you to think about this. I said it's a limited access highway. And you know this? Jesus, while he was here in the world, he made the statement, he said that's straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, because broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to death. And many there be that go in thereat. So Jesus, he spoke of the way to life. He said it is a narrow way. He called it straight. And that word straight there means difficult. It doesn't mean, not crooked, but it means that it's difficult. You remember hearing Jesus when he was talking to the disciples one time? Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples, they said, Lord, who can be saved then if it's that difficult? How can anybody be saved if it's that difficult? And Jesus made this statement. He said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Brother Miller in his message the other night, he referred to the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. And he evidently wanted eternal life. The Bible says that he asked the Lord the question, good master, what good thing can I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, thou knowest the commandments. And he said, which ones? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor thy father and mother. And so on. And the young man evidently was a pretty good boy. He was a moral person at least. And he said, well, Lord, I've kept all of them from my youth up. But Jesus said, yet lackest thou one thing. And he said, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt and come and follow me, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And so the Bible said the young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. This is the way it is. God knew how to put his finger, Jesus knew how to put his finger upon this young man's problem. He loved his wealth more than he wanted to be saved. He loved his wealth more than he wanted eternal life. And so he went away. And that's why we tell sinners, that you have to forsake everything in order to find the Lord. And it's difficult to do that. And there's only way it can be done, and that's with the help of the Lord. Through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God can bring sinners to the point that they want to be saved more than they want anything else. The Bible says, except a man forsake father and mother, houses and lands, and yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And so it is hard, you know, for a sinner to come. But our own sinful nature is what makes it hard. It's not because God doesn't love sinners. It's not because God wants to punish sinners. He has just one way, and that one way is the only way to come, and everyone that comes have to come the same way. You have to forsake everything, and you have to come to the Lord and ask for salvation and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right. And there are a lot of people today that are following a way that seems right. Some people think, well, this way is just as good as that way, you know. And I'll work it out myself, you know. I'll do what I want to do. But I'm telling you tonight, there's just one way to be saved. There are a lot of religions in the world. And a lot of religions do a lot of good things. But I want you to know you're not saved by works of righteousness which you do. The Bible said it is by grace that you're saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And it's not of works lest any man should boast. In fact, the Bible says this. It says if a commandment could have been given that would give life, then verily righteousness would have been by the law. But you see, there's not a command. The command to be baptized will not bring life, and it will not bring salvation. The command to unite with the church will not bring salvation. You see, you can just name anything you want to name, and it will not bring salvation. There's only one way, and that way is by the grace of God, provided by God Himself, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, whom He gave to die upon the cruel cross of Calvary, who shed His life's blood, my friend, and did it willingly. He wasn't forced into it. You said, but I thought they came and arrested him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they took him and held him a prisoner. Well, they did, but he allowed that. He said, I could right now pray my Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels to deliver me. But he didn't do it because the Bible says, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know, Jesus went even a step beyond that. He laid down his life for his enemies. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, that when we were yet without strength, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. And he said, for verily, for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And so there's a way that might seem right, but you know, there's just one way that is right. If you want to find eternal life and everlasting life and have the joy of the Lord in your heart and the peace of God that passes understanding, the only way you can have it is to come to God through Jesus, because He is the door. You know what? That reminds me of what John chapter 10 says. John chapter 10 says this. It says, we'll look and see what it says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You know, Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he is also, my friend, the porter. Now the Bible tells us here, he that climbeth up some other way. You know, Jesus warned in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said there would be many that would come and say, I'm Christ, I'm Christ. But Jesus said, don't you be deceived. Don't you be deceived. There have been a lot of people that have tried to convince people that they are the Messiah. Even in our day, there are people living who have bewitched people and deceived people into thinking that they are the Messiah. But I want to tell you, there's only one that has ever met the qualifications to be the Savior of the world. And that's the Lord Jesus. And he says, to him the porter openeth. You know, Jesus, as I said, met the qualifications. The qualifications of the Scripture. Nobody else ever has. Jesus, he was the son of Abraham. He was the son of David. He was of the tribe of Judah. You know, he met every qualification of the Scripture. And that's why, my friend, the porter opened unto him, because he was the only qualified one, to the sheepfold. And then I noticed this about him. And it said, when he put a 40 sheep, he goes before him. And then he said, this parable spake Jesus. I won't take the time to go into all that. But he said, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it not. So Jesus explained it to them, and this is what he said. Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so again, that's having reference to the way to life. You see, there's just one way, and Jesus is the way. And so Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You know, you have to make an effort if you want to be saved. You have to make an effort. You have to desire to be saved. You have to be willing to do whatever the Lord requires for you to be saved. And I know you're not saved by works, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm suggesting that. I believe that God will save anyone, anywhere, anytime that they meet His conditions. That's what I believe. I don't believe you have to be in a church. I don't believe you have to be on your knees. I don't believe you have to be crying to the top of your voice. But I believe that when a sinner will humble himself under the mighty hand of God, turn from his wicked ways, put his faith and trust in the Lord, I believe that instantly that person will be saved and born into God's family, and he'll become a child of God. And so this says in the Scripture that I read in your hearing that this shall be called a way of holiness. And he said, no unclean thing shall walk therein. And he said, but it shall be for the redeemed. Well, who are the redeemed? The redeemed are those, my friend, that have been bought with a price. They are the ones that the Lord Jesus purchased their redemption on the cross of Calvary with his own blood. And it is precious blood, because it does cleanse us from all sin. I read in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, I believe it's verse 5, it may be verse 7. But anyway, it said, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so tonight, there's just one way to the pearly gate, to the crown of life and the friends who wait. And I ask you tonight, are you prepared to die? God has set before you life and death. Now, you have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. Joshua said to the people of his day, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve God, he said, then that's your choice. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so you have to make a choice. There's more to being saved than just making a decision. I want to emphasize that. But you do have to decide that I'm going to seek the Lord. You have to decide I want to get saved. You have to decide I'm not going to let anything stand between me and the salvation of my soul. You have to decide, my friend, that you're going to come to God just as you are. And as the old invitation hymn says, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And I want you to understand this tonight. My friend, you have to come to God just like you are. And let me tell you what you are. You are a lost, condemned sinner. You're under the just condemnation of a holy God. Why are you a condemned sinner? Because you have sinned and you have come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, you know, there's none good, no, not one. There is none that doeth good and sinneth not. There is not a righteous man upon the earth, the Bible says, that doeth good and sinneth not. And so you're a sinner because you have sinned and you've come short of God's glory. And you've offended God with your sins. When Adam transgressed God's law, he offended God. And, when you and I reach the years of accountability and we reject the invitation that God has given, and it is the invitation of God. It's recorded in the Bible, and it has been voiced by many preachers. The Bible says thy word has been published. Great is the company of them that have published thy word. Lots of people, lots of men have preached the gospel down through the years. Lots of churches have held up the bloodstained banner, and they've held forth a glorious light to those that are in darkness and in despair. My friend, but I tell you, they have done it in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And he said, you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now you may think tonight, that's just asking too much for me to make my way down the aisle to an altar of prayer. It would be embarrassing for me to acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. But my friend, you're among friends tonight. And all of us have been down that road. We know what it is to be lost. We know what it is to be under conviction. We know what it is to bow and pray to God. And we know what it is to have our sins forgiven. And we are, every one of us are in sympathy with you tonight. And we would gather in the altar with you and pray for you that God would have mercy and save your soul from hell. I want you tonight to think about this. And I've done preach longer than I intended to. But I want you to know this. You're saved by grace. Saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Not a plainer verse of scripture in the Bible. Not a plainer verse. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And do you know, Paul says in Romans 5 and 1, he said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, you get a standing in the eyes of God, a legal standing, by the way, because when you are born into God's family, He adopts you as one of His own. And He treats you as though you had always been His son. We have a standing in the eyes of God. Paul said in that same fifth chapter of Romans, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom ye also have access into this grace, into this favor with God in which you stand. When you're saved, you become a child of God. You're one of His children, and you'll always be one of His children. I mentioned a while ago being redeemed by the blood. But you know, this is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. He said, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but from our conversation, but He said, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. And so the blood of Jesus, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And the only blood that can take away sins, the blood of Jesus. No other blood has the power to remove sin. When you get saved, God gives you a no-so salvation. You don't have to have some preacher tell you you've prayed long enough and that you're all right. I tell you, if you come to God through Jesus, come God's way. I tell you, when you find the Lord will let you know it. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know something else? John said, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And so that it is a no-so salvation. And the Word of God assures us that as well. You not only have the experience in your heart, but the Bible tells you that the Word of God affirms it. You listen to what it says. He says in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is, and maybe it's verse 10, but it says, He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And I guess I need to go over there and look at that because I don't want to misquote it. And I know I didn't get every word of every verse that I've tried to quote tonight. And I wish I could have given you verbatim what the Bible says. And you say, well, preacher, you ought to turn to it and read it. Well, maybe I should, but I want you to know this. Let's see what he says. I'll find 1 John here. He said, but the anointing which ye received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. You don't need somebody to tell you when you're saved. A lot of people today say, repeat this prayer after me. When you get on, they say, now, you ask, and the Lord said if you'd ask, He'd give it to you, so you got it. Don't trust any man that'll tell you that. No, sir. You can know for yourself the Holy Spirit, the anointing that you receive from the Lord. He's the one that lets you know your sins are gone. He's the one that lets you know that you're not condemned any longer. He's the one that lets you know the guilt is not there. And that you're a child of God. But listen to what he said. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, even so it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And then he goes on down. That's not the place I thought I was reading, but I'm glad I accidentally stumbled across that, aren't you? Amen. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. If you don't believe the record that God give of His Son, you're calling God a liar. Now that's the truth. If you don't believe the record. And so he said, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and the life is in His Son. And He says, furthermore, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on Him whom God, on the name of the Son of God. So the Scripture, you know, it confirms the experience that we had with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a couple of more things, and then I'm going to quit. One thing I want you to know is that when the Lord saves your soul, I tell you, you become His child. I'm trying to get the verse together. Brother Miller quoted it last night from the first chapter of 1 Peter, I believe it is. And in that chapter, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I'm telling you that God, the very moment you're saved, God reserves a place in heaven for you. And the Bible says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." And so God, this way to life, this one and only way to life, I tell you, it has many benefits that accompanies it. And the Lord leads us by His Spirit as we go down through life. As many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God, Paul said. And then one of these days, Jesus is going to present us before His throne faultless, without a fault. I mean, nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. You can't do it. That's what Paul said in the Roman letter. He said, "Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." You know, if God justifies you and gives you peace with God, every man in the world can falsely accuse you, and it ain't going to change your standing with God. It won't change it. I tell you, tonight, my friend, we're going to stand before the Lord faultless one of these days. Not because we've never done anything wrong. No, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even after we get saved, we still do stupid things, don't we? Yeah, we still do. Deliberately we do sometimes. We know to do right and don't do it. That's what Paul said he did. I ain't going to question Paul's salvation. He said, "When I would do good, evil's with present with me. The things I would do, I do not, and the things I would not do, that I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You know, he said, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So I'm saying today that when you get saved, you become a child of God. You have eternal life. You'll never perish. And that's what Jesus promised. You'll never perish. There'll be a place waiting for you in heaven. And when you draw your last breath, my friend, before your flesh gets cold, you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And then when Jesus comes again, I tell you, our old bodies are going to be resurrected, and we're going to have glorified bodies. And our soul and body will be reunited, and we'll be in the presence of Jesus forevermore. And wherever Jesus is good enough for me. And it's you. I'm going to close. I'm sorry I preached so long tonight. I didn't mean to. But I preached what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach tonight. And I pray that God will bless it. Sinner, tonight, if you're here, you may be very young. You may have just reached the years of accountability. You may have just felt in your heart in this service that you're separated from God. I want you to know that there's a way to Jesus. And that way is through His blood. Jesus made the way. Somebody wrote a song, Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way to glory when He died to save us from our awful state. And He surely did. And you can come to God tonight through Jesus, and you can get forgiveness of your sins, and you can know that you've been saved. You can know you've been saved. You can have peace in your heart, and you can have joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. And you can have the Lord with you from this day forward as long as you live to lead you and guide you and help you through the rough places of this life. And then when you die, He'll be there. He'll be there at the crossing. And He'll guide you safely across. As the song says, there'll be somebody to guide my bark across that dark river. And you'll enter into His presence forevermore. If you're here and lost tonight, will you come to Jesus? Will you come? Let us stand and sing. I want you to be saved. Jesus wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. The Holy Spirit wants you to be saved. Your friends and your loved ones want you to be saved. Why not tonight? Why not tonight?
Church hymnal number 81.